Hi, welcome back to the 2021 MySQL and Friends Developer Room at FOSDEM. Sorry we can't all get together. I'm presenting a session now on better user management tools under MySQL 8.0. And for the next 20 or so minutes, I'm going to go over some of the stuff that you may have missed that is in the release notes. For those of you who do not know me, I'm Dave Stokes. I'm one of two community managers on the community team. If you need to reach me, I'm at Stoker on Twitter. There's my blog and my email address. And by the way, the slides are available on slideshare.net/Dave Stokes. I will repeat this at the end for the hopeful Q&A session that we'll have. So, as many of you know, user management can be challenging. There's lots of obstacles, not the least of which being the actual users themselves. Can't help you with that, but there's a lot of new features that you may have missed that can make life a lot easier. Unfortunately, they're usually hidden in the release notes. They come out in a blog here or there, and unless you have a lot of spare time and can actively keep on top of this, it's easy to miss some of these things, and I'm sure you'll agree that some of these are rather interesting. First one, with 8.0.2.3, CIDR support for host notation. I've been bitten before in the past when we've rewired networks or had people change floors and suddenly they can't get in the database. Well, what's your address? And they give you the street address. Kind of a painful thing. Well, now with 8.0.2.3, you can actually put in, when you're specifying the host, the CIDR notation, as you can see here, the /24 address. By the way, this means you should specify the account host values in the same format as used by your DNS. If you've never managed a DNS, it's its own little set of interesting problems that I won't go into here. Now, how does this all work? When you go to authenticate in, the server looks at your username and the host you're coming from, and it goes through a list of accounts in the MySQL.user table, and then double checks that your address that you've given raw with bounces that off the DNS to make sure that things are matching up. By the way, this is done as a string match, even if you're using the numeric addresses. So the server is doing this comparison, and it wants to see an exact match. Now, some best practices that you might want to be aware of. Suppose you're working at example.com and your machine is host 1, and that's what your network sees you as. Now, when the DNS returns the name lookup to the server, if it's showing you as host1.example.com, use that in the host field. If it just returns host 1, use that instead. Now, if you're dealing with numeric values, in this example, we're using the second set of numbers as 5.1. Make sure that's being returned instead of 0.5.1, which happens in some situations. So if it's using 5.1, use 5.1. If it's using 0.5.1, use that. Also, this also works with wildcards. So if it's using 5.1 with the last octet being a wildcard, use that. Or if it's 0.5.1, use that. So once again, it's advisable to check what format your DNS uses and make sure you use that for your host name and addresses. Dual password support. This came back in the long time ago in 8.0.1.4. When I first saw this, I thought that was a weird idea, but it makes sense for a lot of folks. Imagine you're working in an environment where you have a large number of users, a large number of servers, replication going on. You have multiple applications. They have different needs, different uses, and it comes time to do your quarterly or biannual password rotation. It's kind of a pain to shut everything down and do a massive Emacs or VIM edit of all the credentials and relaunch everything. Can't often do that. So with dual passwords, you can actually make the change without having to go out and negotiate times to shut things down. Actually doing the shutdown, you can do it in phases. You make take it a little bit easier on yourself. Now, in this example, we're going to alter user Dave at deardave.xyz, and we're going to give it a new password. But we tell it retain current password. Well, after you run this, if you go out to the mysql.user table and you look out there in the information, you'll see the password is stored as a hash. Now, this is the original password, not the new password. And when we make all the changes and everything's done, everything's coordinated, everyone's happy, the change has been made, and all the applications are running, you can discard old password. Now, some things to note. Retain current password retains the current password, the password you originally used as the secondary password. That's what you saw off there. The new password becomes the primary password. So the new is the primary, the old one stored off as the JSON string that you saw earlier. If an account has a secondary password and you change its primary password without specifying retain current password, the secondary password remains unchanged. That could be a gotcha. For alter user, if you change the authentication plugin and do not specify return current password, the things will fail. So when you're changing the plugin assigned to account, the secondary password is discarded. So be careful there. Statements that modify secondary passwords require the following privileges. Yes, there are new privileges. The application password admin privileges required to use to return current password or discard old password for alter user and set passwords. So make sure you have your permissions set correctly. Now, if the account is permitted to use manipulate secondary passwords for all accounts, it should be granted create user privilege rather than the application admin password. So keep application password admin kind of secluded. Don't spread it around or use the create user. Okay, way back in 8.0.18, we added a random password generation, which works with the configuration that you can set up with MySQL to how complex it is and all that. So, first example here, we're going to create three users, all identified by a random password. And this is the clear text of those passwords. So if you're automating account generation, this is what the user will have to type to get in. It also works with alter user. So you can alter users to get random passwords. And you can set password to random. Now, why is this interesting? Well, coming up with random passwords when you don't have a password generator can kind of be messy. This way you make things match the parameters that are used by your MySQL server. And have some notes here too. For each account which a statement generates a random password, the statement stores the password in the MySQL.user system table, hashed for the appropriately for the account authentication plugin that you're using. The statement also returns the clear text. Remember, this is clear text password that the user is going to use to actually authenticate into the system. And by the way, the generated passwords have a length of 20 characters by default. If you want to make it simpler, you can go down to 5. And if you really want to make people type and be a real fun person, you can make them up to 255 characters. Probably not recommended. Back in 8.0.19, we added failed login tracking and temporary account locking. First example here, create user, identified by password, failed login attempts 3. So on the fourth time they log in and they're fat fingering that password, the account will be locked for a time period of 3. That time period is measured in days. You can also use this with alter user. Failed login attempts, here we're going to give them 4 chances. Password lock time unbounded. What does unbounded mean? It means that someone's going to have to go, that someone being you, is going to have to go and change their password or unlock their account. Now, the granularity is in days. I'm not sure if that, I personally would prefer something a little bit shorter, but I can see why they're doing it in days. So this is something that you can change up from end value options from 0 to 32767. A value of 0 is, of course, disables this this option. And by this is consecutive log of attempt. So if they blow it and then come back and get in and then come back the next morning and fat finger it but get in, that is not going to cause them any problems. However, if they do go past the end value that you set, they will be locked out. So be aware. Once again, this is consecutive login failure. Now, a login failure, we've got to warn you, is not including failure to connect for reasons such as an unknown user, they fat finger their username, network issues, they're just some connectivity issue where the packets don't get back and forth the way they're supposed to do. And by the way, if you're using dual passwords, as I showed you earlier, either account password counts as correct. And if you want to dig into the details on this in the information schema, there's a connection control failed login attempts table that will track all these events. Okay, warning, personal gripe upcoming. What is that gripe, Dave? And why are you sharing with us at FOSDEM? Well, when I was born, the name David was very popular, and the diminution of Dave was even more popular. And one of my favorite books of all time is by Dr. Seuss, and in his collection Sneetches and Other Stories, you'll hear the story about Mrs. McCabe, who had 23 sons, and she named them all Dave. Okay, Dave, where are you going with this? Well, if you're administrating accounts and someone says, hey, I forgot my password, can you reset it? Well, who is this? This is Bill. And you look through your telephone directory and your company has 43 Bills. And probably 18 Williams and 4 or 5 Billies and some other variations out there. Well, how do you tell which one is which? Well, fairly recently we added the ability to add comments, which is also to be used with the word attribute, to annotate kind of like the GCOS field on a Unix or Linux account who that Bill is. As you can see here, we're creating a user and comment, Bill Johnson, room 114, extension 1234. Now, if you select the user attributes for that account, you'll actually see it's out there listed as a comment under some metadata. So the next time someone calls up, say, hey, this is Bill Johnson, I forgot my account name, you can give it to him, or this is Bill, which Bill? Bill Johnson in room 114, you can now authenticate him that way. Of course, this also works with alter user. You can use the alternative keyword instead of comment as attribute. You can do stuff like, here we're adding the email to this account. So previously we had Mary Wu is in room 141 and her extension. If we run attribute or comment, it will actually append that to the JSON data. Very, very handy. I hope more people can take advantage of this. By the way, if you're looking to run a GUI for MySQL to do admin work, I highly recommend MySQL Workbench. It automates a lot of this, saves you a lot of typing, especially if you're doing restrictive privileges. It's a lot easier to come in here and hit a checkbox than to do the command line control where you're doing, select underscore privilege equals yes, da 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 for 20 different privileges. Here you can do it all with our lovely GUI. So, getting to the time to wrap up here. By the way, if you want to try the MySQL data service for free, you can do it today. You get $300 worth of credits and let you on the Oracle MySQL cloud. By the way, MySQL, you're part of the community now since you're watching this and you're at virtual FOSDEM. Please join the MySQL community at Slack. You can find us at mysql.com. You can find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and of course, LinkedIn. And if you're running a startup, we have a startup program at Oracle that gets you discounts and credits and a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you're in a startup, please reach out and try this. Also, if you're using the JSON data type, the second edition of MySQL and JSON, A Practical Programming Guide by yours truly, has come out. If you're using JSON, this is a concise guide to the stuff that you need to know to practically use it. The manuals that we have are very, very good. I just wanted to give people some better, more clear-cut examples. So that is out there, available on Amazon. And with that, we're going to go to questions and answers. And I want to thank you for suffering through this. And hopefully I've given you some tips on things you can use.